Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
And you listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here, Redskins Talk Podcast. Mitch Tischler won't be joining us as he's out on a golf course, even though it's 2,000 degrees. Joining us is Rich Tandler via phone, via Lazy Boy. Is that correct, Tandler?
Yo. You got it.
Was that a yo? Did Taylor just say yo? Wow.
I don't know where that came from.
Just, you've been listening to a lot of hip-hop records lately, Taylor?
Well, way predates hip-hop.
A lot of hippity-hop with Drake and Pusha T.
Whose side are you on between Drake and Pusha T, Taylor?
I have no idea.
I feel like Swaggy T and Pusha T should
I'm
hang out.
Drake, so I guess I'll be on his side.
All right. On Father's Day, that's a rough call.
I don't know.
All right. Pete's here also. Hello, Pete.
Hey, JP. Hello, Rich.
Taylor, how do you feel about calling Pete Peter?
I don't know. Whatever he wants to be called.
Well, he doesn't like it. Does that appeal to you more?
Oh,
then?
Peter, my man.
Hello. Oh, hey, Richard.
Peter.
Richard.
What if we started calling Taylor Dick? Was that ever a thing?
We don't do that.
No?
No.
All right, Pete, do you even get why I said that?
Because Dick is a short name for Richard.
All right. I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that happens really in 2018, but like that was like people called Richard Nixon that, right?
Dick Tandler is such a cool broadcaster name. You sound like you should be on Anchorman.
Yeah, like Dick Enberg.
Right.
I think we're going to move on.
I'll pass. Thank you. Yeah.
Do I have to bleep that out or are we allowed to say
know.
That?
I don't know.
I'm just going to pretend like I didn't hear this and not bleep it.
Let's hope Tess Quinlan, who runs podcasts for NBC, isn't listening to the
first
2 minutes.
She oddly liked the podcast hangover edition, though.
She's told me that she wants to come to the next podcast party. I said, awesome, but it's going to be in Richmond. She's like, oh.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
All right.
But Tess, you're invited. Anywhere we go, you're welcome. And before we get going into today's episode, one more time with feeling. Big thank you to Matchbox. Such a great showing, and they were so supportive. And the pizza's so damn good. Pete?
Yeah, and so are the onion rings and the sliders that I just pounded.
Taylor?
That's a great play. I like that. I tell you, we were on the inside part of the inside-outside bar, but having that little kind of courtyard there with the bar and the outside seating, I mean,
Yep, it was cool.
That is a future destination for sure.
Ooh, for the Tandlers?
Oh, yeah.
Can Pete and I come?
Sure. Make it out here.
Wow. I was expecting that to go a different direction. I'm not sure Pete's
It's not our backyard or anything.
Right.
You're not welcome there, but any place else.
Any place off Tandler's property is good.
I'm not sure Pete's allowed back in One Loudon in the whole complex. I wonder if there's a banned list from One Loudon. All right, before we get – so big thank you to Matchbox. Also, Lost Rhino was awesome. We really liked that beer. Mitch told me how much he liked that beer. Taylor, you'll be happy to know that in an effort to organize my life a little bit more, I'm now walking around with to-do lists.
That's something my mom does. I do it. It actually really helps.
So I got a little piece of paper with all this stuff written down. Pete won't be able to read any of it.
So he's got some people about who he should call. He's got other things that he wants to do, you know. Errands. There's some arrows on here, which is helping him kind of get the flow.
It's and a flow chart.
I think a couple things have been crossed off, too. This is actually really impressive.
Yeah, man. I'm trying.
And he has the note, most importantly. He hasn't lost his to-do list note.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, if you leave home without your to-do list, that's kind of taking some steps back.
So once upon a time, I used to do these all the time because I used to be worse at organization. And one thing I crossed off that we're actually going to talk about, Zach Brown. Zach Brown had some big-time comments to our friends B-Mitch and Scott Jackson and Doc on their radio show on Inside the Locker Room. He talked specifically about Terrell Pryor, so we're going to talk about that. And then I had a good interview with DJ Swearinger last week on the final day of mini camp. And DJ's such like an eloquent, well-spoken dude that we're going to play the whole thing. We already talked to Pete about it. We're going to let you guys listen to the full thing because rarely do full interviews run on air or anything. Usually you just get like condensed clips of them, kind of what makes for the best TV. But in this format, one of the things I love about the podcast is that we're able to give you full audio clips and let you guys come up with your own determinations. And before we go to DJ, we're going to do a little bit more conversation around the secondary. But Tandler, barring your reluctance, I say we dig into Zach Brown, Terrell Pryor. What do you say?
I'm not at all reluctant. I don't know where you get that impression. It's fine with me.
Oh yeah, where do we get that impression?
Yeah, you're never reluctant to do anything. Like let us sleep in your backyard. All right, so Pete, can you drop some of the Brown audio in right here?
So they're gonna see Terrell. Oh, that's gonna be something right there. Yeah. Oh well. I know the boys going to have it out for him. Man. I can't wait to see that.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
That
changes things.
Yeah, right? Oh, really?
We can put hands on him now. Look, Jay was protecting you first. Now we can get physical with
you. There you go, baby.
Jay ain't here to protect you no more.
Oh, that's great.
You're a whole different team. Yeah.
So there you go. So now we got a little Terrell Pryor information here.
Yeah, because, you know, the boys are already hot for what he was doing last year.
Oh, yeah.
So they just couldn't put hands on him. Now they can put hands on him. Jay ain't here to save you. They ain't trying to one-hand something while you at the Jets.
Yeah.
You're going to catch a forearm right underneath your ribs, man.
Okay, cool. So we all saw, all right, I guess we didn't see, we heard Zach Brown's comments about Terrell Pryor. I want to say this before we go any further. Zach has a tendency at times, and I don't think he's doing it to be flashy. He's not a flashy type guy, but he doesn't have the like politically correct football filter that I think a lot of people have. You know, a lot of players are smart enough not to talk about big hits and wanting to, you know, hurt other guys, but a lot of people feel that way. Guys, especially if you're a linebacker, if you're on the defensive side of the ball, you are trying to really, you don't want to say injure, but you are trying to hit someone as hard as you possibly can. And I think Zach Brown is one dude who says that honestly. And so his comments about Pryor, I don't find necessarily surprising. And all three of us were in Richmond for 3 weeks or however long last year. Pryor did do some showboating down there. Let's be like all the jugs work, all the one-handed plays. There was the one catch I remember in the corner of the end zone against I'm trying to remember the corner's name.
I'll pull it up. Deshaun Phillips.
Yeah, Deshaun Phillips. Thank you.
Yes.
And it was in that moment, like I was standing on the sideline, Pryor subbed himself in, called the fade route. It wasn't a play with Kirk or anything. They weren't working on something here. It was done for the crowd because the crowd, it was the corner of the end zone right up against the crowd. And, you know, you're not allowed to get a jam on the line of scrimmage. And Pryor just jumped over Deshaun Phillips, and it was like the defensive side of the ball was so disheartened by that, and Pryor like played it up for the whole crowd, which is fine. He's allowed to do all that, but I circle back to that because I'm not that surprised by Zach Brown's comments. Maybe I'm surprised he made them so clearly and publicly, but I do think defensive players felt like it got to be a little bit much last year at camp. Tandler, go ahead.
Yeah, just a little bit. But, you know, I mean, to quote Allen Iverson, it's practice, man. You know, you don't want to get into a war where you're going to go and smack Terrell Pryor, and then their defense wants to get revenge, and they start taking some shots at Josh Doctson. I mean, you know, come on. Yes, they want to hurt people, but only in games where there's, you know, you're on a field and people are expecting it. So, you know, I would say just, you know, I get what he's saying, but I would say just lighten up a little bit maybe and just be concerned about the consequences of of doing what you're talking about doing.
Well, I would say Zach Brown isn't one for lightening up. This is a guy who tweeted after that awful Devontae Adams hit last year, tell him don't play because I'm always headhunting. Look, don't play football if you don't want to get hit or hurt. So I don't think Zach Brown's going to lighten up. And I'm not expecting like a Redskins-Texans all-out brawl, and I hope that doesn't happen because that would be bad and there'd be maybe injuries and that could distract the team. But Redskins-Jets practice just got a hell of a lot more interesting, and I am now kind of looking forward to those days in August.
But, dude, let's talk about, I mean, Gruden even almost had a quote about that last week, because let's add this to the pile. The Skins just had a fight between two defensive linemen at minicamp, and in the same interview, Zach Brown said, you know, we talked to these guys, they should only fight the offense. They can't be fighting, he called it, you know, color on color, because we're both, you know, the defense wears burgundy during practice. But here it is. So this is Gruden on joint practices with the Jets. It'll be good. It'll be good to evaluate the young kids, especially, and also get our veteran guys, see how we handle a different scheme. A lot of times you're going against one another. Sometimes when it gets that late in training camp, you start to see the buddy system going down a little bit. I won't hurt you. You don't hurt me. But now you're going against another group of guys trying to make their roster. I think the competitive nature will make practice a little bit better and challenge them a little bit more, so it'll be good. We've just got to tone it down so nothing happens like it did against Houston a couple years ago. But I think Coach Bowles, myself, we have a good understanding of what we're looking for and how to deal with it. So the Texans incident is still on the minds of the folks of Jay Gruden, clearly. He wasn't prodded towards that. If I'm pretty sure, and Taylor, you might remember, that question, I think, was from a Richmond TV guy, just kind of setting up the, like, oh, how much fun will this be?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Gruden is the one that took it there. Here's the other thing in this. I think there was another factor in all this. There was so much excitement around Terrell Pryor. Everybody thought he was going to be great for the Redskins. Then he has this training camp where between his Instagram and, dude, on some level, ours, we need to take some beef here,
yeah,
too. Right.
Every time we went to a jugs machine, we had like three cameras there,
right,
just like fawning
not even
over
cameras,
him.
Like Snapchat glasses, like all the crazy social media stuff we were putting out last year.
Well,
I wrote a blog about the hype train. I'm here for it, too.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what? He certainly did nothing to discourage that.
No,
I mean, he was showboating for the crowd. He, you know, like the play you described, the one hand catch that, I don't know. I think that tweet that was put out on that, the more popular one, it was getting likes into the middle of the year. It got looked at by a ton of people.
Right.
So, you know, I would say whatever happened in terms of building expectations, you know, and him putting out the workout videos.
Right.
Yeah, and then he goes out and catches 20 balls.
Exactly. I think had he produced during the season, nobody would have given it. Right.
Right. My point was, I guess, you know, don't blame the media. He certainly played up to it. And it was not, the expectations were not tamped down at all by him.
All right, so I think, sorry, I have a cold. Summertime colds are the worst. But let's, I think, I don't expect to see a lot of interaction during these Jets practices. It does give it a little extra juice, like Pete said. But I think to expect Terrell Pryor versus Zach Brown in Oklahoma drill or something is a little silly, right?
Yes.
All right. But you know, still, it was a fun interview. I'm gonna start blogging every Zach Brown interview, because as long as you mine it, there's gold in there. all right, quickly, because I want to go to the DJ interview. Secondary, we've seen a little bit more. We talked about Troy Apke maybe making a play. Taylor, how many safeties you see them keeping?
I think four. You know, they last year, however, just to note, they did carry five. But that was only for about a day and a half until Sua Cravens went south on them.
That's crazy to think about. That was less than a year ago.
They picked up TJ Clemmings, so you know, for depth on the offensive line. So then they're pretty much the rest of the year with four safeties. I think that's what they'll go with.
So who are we talking about? Monte, Apke, DeShazer, and Swearinger?
Yeah.
Okay.
More than likely. And then maybe, you know, if Fish Smithson, if he can make a case, push his way onto the roster, you know, they might go with a fifth. but I am not. Right now, I would say four, but we'll have to see how things go.
A lot of roster shuffling to come, and you know, you hate to say it, but the injuries usually become a factor as well. You think they have enough? What do you think of that? I'm going to agree with you that that's the way I would project the safety group. You think that's enough there?
How's Monte going to be? You know, that's the big question.
Well, and one of the
ends up inactive for, you know, more than a week or two at a time. You know, I think you might need a fifth guy for there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting too. You know, wait till you hear the DJ interview, but I asked him about getting Monte able to stay healthy. And I thought DJ's answer was kind of telling, kind of interesting. We're going to go to Swearinger. Pete, you got anything to add?
I'm not very confident in the safeties they have right now, nor the corners behind the starters. I think the four starters in the secondary, if any one of them goes down, this defense is going to go down with it. So,
and you can kind of expect guys to go down. I mean,
yeah.
The law of averages says that.
Yeah.
It's funny. Now, who the hell knows? Because last year we probably wouldn't have said the same thing, but I think the front seven is now the strength of this defense.
Right. I think it's kind of flip-flop.
And that's assuming young guys play really well.
Yeah, I think we've always been hoping to see Jay Gruden with a pretty good defense, and I'm not sure it's going to be that this year. It's another one of those you're crossing your fingers that guys stay healthy, or crossing your fingers that young guys produce, and it feels like Redskins' defenses have been that way for a couple years, and a lot of the things don't work out. So it just seems like another mediocre, middle-of-the-pack at best defense unless some really surprising things unfold.
Well, you need what they need is real quick, you know, year one to year two jumps like we saw from Ioannidis on the line.
Kendall Fuller
yep. In the secondary last year. They need that from Monte Nicholson. They need that from Ryan Anderson.
Fabian Moreau would help.
From a hole.
Yep.
Yeah, from Moreau. That's what I meant.
I would even say John Allen, because Allen looked really good, but you got five, six games out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know that happens. That's, you know, but again, it doesn't always happen. So there's, you know, it is kind of hoping, which is not, as I always say, hope is not a plan.
No, Taylor. Before we go to Swearinger, what is on the list that's worse than a summertime cold in June?
Not being in the hospital in summer.
Yeah, I mean, besides serious problems, of course. I'm not trying to compare this to serious problems. Like the people that want Phil Mickelson banished from the earth. Like, dude, he messed up in a golf tournament.
How about getting kicked out of a podcast party for pouring beer on your head?
That's, Taylor, that might be worse.
That probably is.
It's certainly
sleeping
worse.
Sleeping with Mitch when he's snoring is worse.
Yep. No argument there.
I wish I could insert that audio into the podcast.
I'm glad you can't. Taylor, how many days till Richmond?
38.
38 days.
JP just has been wiping his nose, and now he has tissue kind of stuck on
his
face.
Pete, cut it out, dude. All right, it's time for DJ Swearinger. Thank you guys for listening. We'll have another one later in the week.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
DJ, a lot of new pieces in the secondary now with Kendall Fuller and Bashaud Breeland gone. How are you gelling that group as somebody who prides himself as the defensive leader?
Well, we've been doing a lot of stuff out the field. We've been bowling. We've been golf.
How's your golf game?
Golf game, man. You know what? We actually started throwing the balls, man, in the holes, man. That's what we started doing. After our swing didn't work, we started competing, throwing the balls in the hole, man.
Which is
fun. That was actually crazy. That was some crazy stuff to do, but we made it competitive.
So you're doing stuff off the field. Does that stuff really translate on the field?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Anytime you can do anything and get to know a person off the field, on the field, you know, it makes it more easier to communicate to that person or to correct that person if the person is doing wrong or to even, you know, congratulate that person. So, you know, it goes all three ways, and just getting the gel and chemistry out, right off the field can definitely, it only helps.
All right, so you know Josh. You've known Josh since high school. You know his game. He knows your game. But now you're learning Quentin Dunbar on the outside. You're learning Orlando Scandrick, a new veteran in town. What do you make of their game, and how is that going to impact your game?
Well, with all three of those guys, especially Josh and Scan, you know, they're two veteran guys. You know, they got a lot of experience with both those guys. Dunbar brings the athletic mentality, the competitive edge that, you know, no one has. I think all three of those guys will make a lot of plays for us. We're going to work well off each other. I can tell in the meeting rooms, we all talking, we all getting on the same page, and then we're gelling off the field. So I think it'll be a great year for us. We just got to keep staying at it. You know, we got a little break right now, but when we get back, we just got to pick up where we left off.
Right, and Kendall was so good for you guys in the slot.
Yeah.
Is that a role that you think Scandrick, as a vet, can come in and do?
Yeah, he definitely can. He's done it in the past. You know, he's a veteran. You know, I always said it, you know, Kendall is definitely hard to replace. You know, I've never seen anyone at the nickel position do it that early, that mental approach to it. So, you know, but Scandrick coming in, he's a veteran, you know, so a veteran already knows what to do. He has experience, he's made plays in the past, so I'm just looking forward to seeing what he can do now.
All right, and this can be our last one. Playing with Monte, who, when he could be on the field, showed so much.
Yeah.
Have you talked with him about how to stay on the field, about getting yourself in NFL shape, and, yeah, and then what are your expectations working alongside him?
Yeah, I definitely talked to him about, you know, offseason, about trying to come train with me these next 5-6 weeks. You know, being
is he
pro.
Coming?
I don't know yet, man. That's still up in the air, but I definitely at least want to get him there for at least a week, a week and a half.
Where do you do your training?
I do my training in Miami,
okay,
at DBC, with Dave Alexander, man, LeBron, D-Wade, a lot of basketball guys training. So I definitely get a lot of good work in, so hopefully he can try to get down there with me. But if not, you know, hopefully he's staying in the mental side of things. You know, the biggest thing with him is opening his mouth. You know, if he opens his mouth, he's going to be one of the best players.
More communication?
Yeah, communication. That's, as a safety, you know, you don't have to be the fastest. You know, you can be the slowest, but as long as you communicate and know what you're doing, you'll always be in the right position.
DJ, thank you very much, man. Enjoy this little bit of time off. You don't get much of it.
Yes, sir. Really appreciate it.